My guest in the Global Observatory today is Paulo Sotero, director of the Brazil Institute of the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars in Washington. Paulo is a distinguished longtime journalist from Brazil who was the Washington correspondent of the prestigious Estado de São Paulo newspaper from 1989 to 2006, and who is a frequent guest commentator on Brazilian matters for American, European, and Brazilian media outlets. He speaks with us today from São Paulo, one of the many cities across Brazil that have been convulsed this month by large street protests of a kind seldom seen since the nation's military dictatorship ended in 1985. Paulo, the thing that ostensibly set off the protest was a relatively small rise in the price of public transportation, but clearly there are much larger forces at play here. How do you explain what is behind these mass protests?
You are right. The reason was, at the beginning, hiking bus fares. But what motivated people to go really in mass to the streets was an episode of abusive use of police force against protesters of the tariff hike. And this is important to know because this turns the events into a civil rights episode. People that were irritated because of the young people protesting in the streets and causing traffic jams turned and joined them in the streets once they were beaten by police. And so this is an episode that shows a society that no longer tolerates a certain type of behavior from authorities. I think the backdrop of this is also something very important. We are having here in Brazil the pre-World Cup tournament, Copa das Confederações. This tournament made evident to people in Brazil the wasteful expenditures of public money in lavish stadiums in cities that barely have teams to play. I think the fact that soccer, which is something that we absolutely love in Brazil, became also a subject or something that is used by authorities, by people in power, to spend public money in ways that they should not, I think helped to galvanize this enormous frustration there is in Brazil with something that to me is the overall cause of the protests. It's not bus fare rides, it's not per se the lavish expenditures in stadiums. It is the irritatingly slow pace of change in a country that has experienced the emergence of a middle class that was promised and has seen some of the benefits of a middle class life with some degree of equity, but that suddenly see that life is very hard, that we may not get there because the economy is stalling, because inflation is on the rise again, because there is too much corruption. People in power are really ignoring the common man's plight, and I think that is what made this thing boil over.
Paulo, I want to pick up on something you just said, because we have all watched from abroad in recent decades as Brazil grew in prosperity and created a viable middle class. Yet it is that middle class, you say, that is now in the streets leading the protest and making the demands. Does this mean that modern-day Brazilians have expectations now that they did not have before?
Yes. This is in a large measure. The protests are in large measure the result of a success. Brazil did improve as a nation since the restoration of democracy in 1985, since the stabilization of the economy in 1994, since the expansion of targeted social programs to deal with this enormous inequality that exists in Brazil that has historic roots and more recent roots. So Brazil has improved. Brazil has seen about 40 million people in a 200 million people country rise to the ranks of the middle class. These people became consumers. Companies that produce consumer products came to Brazil in droves to attend this market. Procter & Gamble has seen its profit rise here 30% a year for 10 years. In the past 3 or 4 years, the tide has changed. I believe there are reasons, economic reasons behind that. The good economic times of global growth that we had, particularly during the Lula years, President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, the first man of the people, a former union leader who rose to the presidency, was elected in his fourth attempt. That period, I believe, started to end with the 2008 economic global crisis. But Brazil was, during that period, going through an economic model based on precisely increased consumption by our rising middle class, increased consumption of commodities by the rising Chinese middle class, and things like that. The end of the Lula government marked a change where we did not have any more a charismatic leader. We had a bureaucrat as president. The situation started getting very tough. 7.5% GDP growth in 2010, 2.7% GDP growth in 2011, barely 1% last year, and inflation comes up. And, well, we have been vaccinated against inflation in Brazil. We don't like inflation, especially poor and middle-class people, because, obviously, it eats all the gains you get from higher salaries, more access to goods, etc., etc. And I believe that this started to be vocalized by different groups, by the media, at the same time as the party in power, the Workers' Party, that had really been an important actor in this enormous transformation, changed substantially. The Workers' Party, who historically had been a party that valued ethics in politics, a party that came from the bottom of society, the only grassroots party in the history of Brazil, once it reached federal government, decided to transform itself and unions and association of students and non-governmental organizations that are close to it into instruments of power, to keep power and to have access to public funds for their own objectives. And this started to alienate people from not only the Workers' Party and from those other forms of social representation, but causing a disillusionment with politics in general here. And this is why you see suddenly a people that no longer feels represented by a political class. The Workers' Party was disappointed. The former parties, the traditional parties in Brazil, have never been seen with great favor by the people. And so all of a sudden, the people do not have a way of manifesting or sending their messages to power about their grievances. And it's no surprise in that environment that they take to the streets. Now, this surprised completely the political parties, the parties in power, the parties in the opposition, I would say, even the media. The scale of this was completely unanticipated.
Paulo, you talk about the Workers' Party, the center-left government, that by its own definition is supposed to be responsive to things like this, and yet all these protests are recurring. Now, the new president, the successor to Lula, Dilma Rousseff, has said that public demand should be listened to, and yesterday she made a series of proposals to reform the Congress, punish political corruption, and even upgrade the transit systems in the country. Will this do anything to calm this crisis? And if it won't, what do you think it will take to end the protests?
I am very skeptical, Warren, that this will make much difference. A lot of those proposals have been around for a while. President Dilma Rousseff enjoys the theoretical support of a large majority in Congress. She could have already approved all of those things many months or a couple of years ago. The fact that she did not means that obviously she is not considered a very able politician, and she cannot reach agreement within her coalition about those proposals. Obviously, she is or was until very recently and very well regarded. She is seen as a clean politician, as an honest person. And I think people are not rallying against her. It's more against a situation. Now, what would have to happen in terms of actual proposals that would quiet the streets? I think it has to do, first and foremost, with issues related to political representation. There is actually one already being worked on that would, through direct action by the people, the Brazilian Constitution allows this, you collect 1.5 million signatures, which represent about 1% of the voters in Brazil, and you mandate Congress to vote on a proposal. The proposal is about political system reform. It would, one, ban completely corporate donations to politicians. Secondly, it would create a two-phase system of elections in Brazil by which you would first vote on political platforms of parties, and once those platforms are voted on and the number of slots that each party will have in Congress is determined, you will choose the politicians that will advance that platform. The idea here is to, one, reduce the number of political parties. We have almost 30. They represent nothing. And also to reduce the number of politicians in Brazil. So to reestablish the connection between the people and its representatives, that connection has been lost. Other proposals were affecting public transportation, health, education. They have been all under the table. They obviously take a while to be worked on, but in order for them to be worked on in a consequential way, I think there is a consensus here that you have to reestablish the connection between the government and the governed.
I've been struck at how rapidly this spread and grew. At one point, I was reading about protests in 100 different cities across Brazil. Is this because of social media? Is social media playing a big role in the spread and effectiveness of these protests?
This is the great irony of the protests. The government claims as one of its big successes the fact that it has its policies, and starting even with the predecessor of President Lula, President Cardoso, but above all Lula and Dilma Rousseff, claim a lot of credit for the fact that Brazilians have now access to more and more goods. And among those goods, cell phones and computers and internet services. About 60% of the population in Brazil has access to those services. And it is precisely those gadgets and those services that are being used to mobilize the population outside of the party structures. Last week, there was an attempt by the Workers' Party to join some of the protests, and they were completely rejected. And social media allowed the organizers of the protesters, this is a leaderless type of movement, but the social media allowed them to organize very well, very fast, and it is obviously something that traditional politicians in Brazil, and I would say almost all the political parties here, still don't understand, don't know how to deal with, but it seems to be a very important contribution to the conversation, to the country, as long as, and here this is a crucial point, from this situation, new leadership will emerge that is capable of understanding the situation and responding. It is the greatest challenge. This is a situation that requires leaders, and that's what right now we cannot see.
Paulo, finally, do you imagine that all this will end up having an enduring effect on Brazilian society? Or will it acabar em pizza, end in pizza, as Brazilians like to say of things that end up producing nothing significant?
Well, I am very hopeful about this. I think this has a quality that we haven't seen before. People are tired, people are fed up of being abused, of being disrespected in ways of a government that takes people's feelings for granted. It started with soccer, saying that, well, this is a passive people, a people that has a negotiating soul, and that is true, that loves soccer and parties, and that is true. But I think people are telling that we are citizens, and we want to be even more citizens. We have those rights, we conquered this, and yes, we want more consumer products, and we want everything, and we want more, and we want better. In terms of how police treat people here, there is a sad history in Brazil of abuses, the use of police force. There has been massacres of prisoners here. Nobody was basically punished for those. And people are fed up with that. And it's very interesting, though, the reaction. There are now in many cities people going out to the streets with flowers and giving flowers to policemen and say, you guys are with us. We are going to negotiate the itineraries of every protest. We are going to follow that. You are going to protect us. In some cities, we already see policemen that follow that being applauded by the protesters. So I see this with hope, although obviously those are massive protests. There is always room for vandalism. There is always room for people going on looting, and the organizers of those have to be very careful about how they go about calling people to come to the streets, because if people in Brazil start seeing more vandalism and more looting than protests, justified protests for causes that, you know, connect to their daily lives, to their needs, I think the movement would lose legitimacy. But I think overall, in most people that I talk to here, not only the young ones, even mature people, see this as a great moment of hope as long as we know how to use it.
Paulo Sotero, thank you very much for talking with us today in the Global Observatory.